In Genesis 37, 31, the Bible says, speaking of Joseph's brothers, it says, they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. He said, this is what the rest of my life is going to look like. Now, those of you that know this Bible story know that Joseph was not dead. He'd not been torn by a beast. It was an effort to deceive the father by the jealous brothers. And in fact, Joseph was alive and God's hand was still on his life. But what I want you to know is how that because of the manipulation of evidence, Jacob's expectations for the rest of his life were set off of false evidence. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18, story of the great woman, the Shunammite woman, it says, and when the child was grown, this was the miraculous child that was given to her by a promise from the prophet. It fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? See, the father didn't know that the boy was dead. He said, wherefore will you go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Wow, her little boy is dead in the prophet's chamber. She says, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Isn't it amazing? This is probably the worst day of her life. The greatest thing she could have ever feared had happened. And when she was asked, how are things going to be, or how are things, she said, it shall be well, and it is well. And I believe that she was using the power of faith to manipulate her expectations. And so for a few moments today, I want to speak to you about manipulated expectations. It can happen in a good way, and it can happen in a bad way. But if we learn to take the power of manipulated expectations and use them to our advantage, then we can tap into the resources of heaven. We can live the kind of life that God wants us to live. We can escape the idea of living below the privileges that God has for us as his kingdom if we learn to manipulate our expectations. Amen? Let's ask God to speak to us today for a minute. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. It's powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder, Lord God, to the dividing, Lord, of joint and marrow, thought and intent. And we thank you for your word today. And God, we pray that a word would come forth that would give direction, hope, inspiration, and a shift or an adjustment in our thinking. Because God, if we can believe, all things are possible. But it doesn't matter how good we are. If we don't believe, we're not going to tap into your resources. So somehow how today, Lord God, let us begin to change what we're expecting. Let us begin to believe that good things are going to come from you, because through the power of faith, we tap into the resources of heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Praise God. If God's ever done anything good for you, put your hands together and clap and just use your voice now and shout out a shout of praise to him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when I say the word manipulate, automatically my mind goes to kind of a negative connotation of the word manipulate. Because when you look at the dictionary definition of manipulate, the first definition is to control or to influence cleverly, unfairly, or unscrupulously. Or it can mean to alter the data or present statistics that would mislead somebody. What are you doing? You are manipulating their opinion by misrepresenting statistics, or you are cleverly and unfairly and unscrupulously determining what they're going to do. But I want to tell you today that there is a secondary meaning of manipulate that has a more positive connotation. And this has to do oftentimes with medicine in the body. It means to simply handle or control in a skillful manner, or to examine or treat a part of the body by feeling or moving it with the hand. For instance, when you go to the chiropractor, you invite them to manipulate your spine and to manipulate areas of your body to bring treatment to it. It's not that they're doing it sneaking up on you and manipulating you. You've asked them to do this. I remember one time my middle daughter was getting ready to run in church, and my wife reached out and grabbed her arm before she ran, and her little elbow went out of joint. And of course, it was very painful for her. She obviously had some kind of a weakness there. So we had to take her to the chiropractor that day, and the chiropractor simply took her hand in such a way and manipulated it and pulled it to so that it slid right back into socket very easily and quickly, because he knew how to skillfully manipulate. And the funny part of the story is the next time my daughter got ready to run, my wife said, "Don't run." And she said, "You gonna break my arm again?" But so manipulation, that which happens to you involuntarily or that which you request, both of them have a similar result. You get the desired result. One of them is by subterfuge and deceit. The other is by choice of will or request. So today what I want to talk about is manipulated expectations. Your expectations can be manipulated by deceit, or you can choose to have your expectations manipulated as an act of will. Now, you may think on a Sunday night here in Canberra in 2018, is it worth even discussing the manipulation of our expectations? But I want to tell you today that the most important question I could ask you that is going to determine your destiny, your success, God's blessings on your life is this question right here. What are you expecting? Because if you're expecting God to work on your behalf, you open a door for him to be able to move in your behalf. When you don't expect anything and have no hope, then that hope, lack of hope, leaves you with no faith. Amen? Because expectations determine the direction of your life. And expectation is another way of explaining faith. And when you believe something good is going to happen, you can get excited and eager before you see the evidence of it, because you know that something good is going to happen. Amen. I just feel like something good's going to happen. And all of a sudden, I begin to feel joy. I begin to get excited, even though I don't have the evidence yet, because I'm expecting that God is going to work on my behalf. And I want to tell you today that God wants you to get your expectations up. God wants you to believe that something good is going to happen. God wants you to begin to believe that God's going to bless your resources, that he's going to bless your career, that your ministry is going to unfold, that his blessings are going to be upon your children, amen? That his blessings are going to be on your physical body, that health and strength and energy is going to come back. This is not positive mental attitude. This is faith, amen? Because when you believe that something good is going to happen, you give God an opportunity to work on your behalf, amen? So this idea of this word hope, hope is just simply a sense that things are going to get better, that something good is going to happen, that the situation is going to turn around, that all is not lost, but that from the ashes will emerge another tomorrow with goodness and blessing and favor. And I want to tell you today that it's been proven that mankind can survive without a lot of things in his life, but man cannot survive without hope. And so the enemy wants to come and drain all the hope out of your spirit, because as a believer, when you're drained of hope, listen to what the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what that means is if I'm not hoping for anything, then there's no faith available. But when I'm hoping for something, then I have faith, amen? And now God has something that he can work with, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. If I'm not expecting anything, I haven't left an opening for God to work. You guys with me? You believe what I'm saying today? And so the devil deals in hopelessness, and his desire is to get you to give up and to quit. But my statement today is this, is that expectation affects everything. Now look at our two stories that we read tonight. The first story is about the great patriarch Jacob, whose name was changed ultimately to Israel. Jacob's sons, who became the leaders of the tribes of Israel, were jealous of their brother Joseph, because Joseph was the child of Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel. And so they, when they had an opportunity, their envy and jealousy bore fruit by them pouncing on their brother when they had a chance, attacking him, tying him up, binding him, throwing him into a pit, and threatening to leave him there to die. Let me tell you something, folks. When you're jealous of somebody, that's not anything to just forget about. It's something that needs to be dealt with. Can I get an amen from somebody? When you start to have envy for other people, it can lead to a lot of negative actions in your life. You got to stay in your lane, amen? Stay in your lane and run your race. Some of the brothers decided, you know, why don't we sell him into slavery rather than just leave him there to die? And there was a traveling caravan. You know the story. They were on their way to Egypt, to a faraway land. And so they sold their own brother into slavery. But before they let him go, they took his distinctive coat of many colors, which was an indicator of his father's favor. And they took it and they tore it randomly. And they took one of their lambs or goats and they slew the animal. They took the blood and dipped the coat into the animal blood. And then they said, we're going to take this and present it to Dad. And you know what? He's going to have every impression or every confidence that his son Joseph has died and been eaten by an animal. So what they did is they presented evidence to their father, but the evidence was based in deceit. They were manipulating the evidence to try to deceive their father. They took this coat, and obviously you know that as soon as Jacob saw the coat, he said, doubtless my son has been torn by a beast. Now, wouldn't we probably jump to that conclusion as well when we saw that type of evidence, not knowing that somebody was manipulating the evidence? Because not only was the evidence manipulated, but from that day forward, for many, many years, Jacob's expectation for the rest of his life was manipulated by the evidence. I want you to get this today. Where do you think these guys got this idea from? Where do you think they got the idea of deceiving their father through manipulation? I think I know where it came from. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. Any deception comes from the enemy. So this lets us know that the strategy of the enemy is very similar in our lives. He will present evidence to us and let us jump to a conclusion and have expectations regarding the rest of our life or the next few months or the next few years. Spiritual warfare is about our mind. Because if we're not expecting anything, then God's power is not working in our life. The enemy knows that the battle lines are drawn in your thinking. Because if you're expecting God to do something great, then God's going to work in your behalf. But if he can manipulate the evidence in such a way that your expectations are manipulated through subterfuge, then he can steal all of God's favor and blessings from you. All the potential that God wants to pour into your life and all the blessing that could be coming your direction. I think we need to be wise to the enemy's ways, amen? We don't want to be ignorant concerning his devices. So this is how Satan works. He fabricates evidence and we jump to conclusions. And we begin to expect bad things because our hope has been stolen. I want to tell you, this happens. My wife and I are pastors of a church in the Los Angeles area, and for quite some time, we've been seeking to secure a building. Very, very expensive area, very difficult to do. And it seems like every time we would begin to see potential evidence that something good was going to happen, there would be a phone call, there would be a letter. There would be some negative feedback. And before long, I'm going to be honest with you. Before long, I started measuring my expectations because I didn't want to be disappointed. Anybody been there before? So before long, I found myself not wanting to get that disappointing call. So I didn't want to get my hopes up too much. You know what? That's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to find yourself in. But as human beings, whenever we get, you know, everything can be going good and you get one letter. And all of a sudden, everything, you feel like, oh, man, God's not fighting for me. This is bad. Am I dealing with some real people here? You know what I'm talking about? You get one phone call. But understand, these things are real. But you can't always trust the evidence because the enemy's goal is not just to destroy your life. His goal is to get you to stop expecting anything good. Because when you stop expecting anything good, you don't have any hope. And if you don't have any hope, then you don't have any faith. And then you're just living life on your own. So the enemy's goal is to take a few very obvious, clear, palpable, noticeable evidences and cause us to jump to a conclusion. Anybody like that before? And start getting discouraged and start feeling hopeless and start feeling like something bad's going to happen. And you know what? He's trying to manipulate our expectations because he knows the power of positive expectation. He understands that when we believe God for something good, so his goal is to manipulate our expectations. And in this story, Jacob, because of the manipulation of evidence, needlessly lived in mourning for many years and said this is what I expect. I will live the rest of my life in mourning. He said, I give up all hope. I give up all thoughts of a better day. I just expect that this is what's going to happen. And you know what? That's exactly what the enemy wants to do in your life, to get you to say, it's not going to get any better. Nothing's going to turn around in this situation. My child's not going to be saved. God's not going to open that door. God's not going to use me in the way that he promised. There's too much evidence that's come up. But I want to tell you that if the devil can manipulate your expectations, that you can learn to manipulate your expectations as well. The second story, the story of the Shunammite woman. I love the story. She was a great woman. The prophet Elisha said she was a great woman. Because anytime Elisha the prophet was in the area, she recognized the power of God that was on his life. And she said, I want to be my family to be exposed to the ministry of this prophet. And so whenever he was near, she provided dinners, meals for the prophet. And then finally, at one point, she prevailed upon her husband and said, Elisha's here. He doesn't have a place to stay when he's around. Can we just put a little addition on our house or set in the corner a place for the prophet when he comes to town? Because I want to make room for the move of God. Amen. I want to make room for what God has. And see, this is what expectation does. Expectation makes room for a work of God in your life. Expectation makes space for God to be able to work in your behalf. And because she made room for the prophet said, this is a great woman. This is a great family. They've blessed me greatly. What could I do? He asked his servant Elisha, ask Gehazi, what could I do? And while he was thinking out loud, he said, I notice that she doesn't have a son and her husband's very old. And I guarantee you, I know from this culture that she wants a little child. And so he spoke to her and said, guess what? Next season, amen, when the time comes around, you're going to be pregnant and you're going to give birth to a little boy. And she said, well, it doesn't seem likely, but I've made space for it. Amen. I've made space for it. And it wasn't very long, amen, until this promised child came and she knew that God had provided for her. I think I'm looking at a group of people who've seen God's provision in your life. You've seen God work on your behalf. You made room for him. You asked him to forgive you. You asked him to come into your life. You said, I'm going to make church a priority. I'm going to make the things of God a priority. And you made space in your life for God to work. Is there anybody that can celebrate the fact today that God has worked and provided on your behalf? And so later on in this passage as we read today, the little child had grown up. He wasn't a baby anymore. And he went out to work one day with his dad, and he fell down. And he got up and had a tremendous pain in his head. And he said, came to his dad and said, my head's hurting. So dad took one of the boys, said, carry him home. Take him to his mother. And so this great Shunammite woman takes the promised child in her hand, sets him on her knee, and no doubt rocks and prays until noontime when the little boy stops breathing. You talk about a catastrophic moment holding your own baby when he stops breathing. So much hope, so many future plans. You know, sometimes the devil likes to take, once we've begun to see some progress, we've begun to see some positive things, we begin to see that God's working on our behalf, to try then to take our expectations and steal them. Now, I'm not saying that this was a work of the devil, but what I'm telling you today is we've got to notice what she did in her most difficult day with the most obvious evidence that things were not good, that could have stolen all of her hope. Just like Jacob, his favored child was dead. Her favorite child was dead. But rather than letting the evidence of his alleged demise determine the expectations for the rest of her life, she knew he was dead. She saw him stop breathing. But when she went looking for her husband and said, I'm going to see the prophet. Can you get a donkey ready and send one of the servants? He said, what's going on, honey? It's not the new moon. It's not a Sabbath. You don't need to go to the grocery store. Why are you taking this trip to the prophets? And she says, it shall be well. And then she gets to the prophet. He sees her afar off, and he sends out a messenger. Says, is it okay with you? Is it okay with your husband? Is it okay with your son? And she said, it is well. What in the world is wrong with this lady? Is she in denial? Is she trying to create an idea where she's out of touch with reality? What she is doing is she was manipulating her expectations because she believed that there was power in God to work on her behalf. And even though it was the worst day of her life, she said, it shall be well. Come on. It shall be well. And you can't tell me that she was feeling good and chipper and excited. You can't tell me that she wasn't concerned. You can't tell me that she wasn't stressed out. It was probably in almost a frantic, fearful state of mind. But she said, it is well. She said, it shall be well. She wasn't lying. She wasn't in denial, and she wasn't pretending. She was manipulating her expectations. And I want to tell you that in spiritual warfare, even in difficult times, if we can learn that when the evidence would cause our expectations to go a certain way, we're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to let my expectations go there. I'm manipulating them to where I want them to go. Because if the devil can manipulate my expectations using deception, then I can sure enough manipulate my expectations using the promises of God's word and the way that he's already worked on behalf of me in my life. Can't I once again? She was saying, you know what? I couldn't have a baby. I was barren, but there was a word from the prophet that said, you're going to be pregnant a year from now. And God did it. If God did it then, he can do it again. So I'm planning and believing and trusting that something good is about to happen. And she manipulated her expectations to believe that something was going to happen. Praise God. Because if the enemy can control and manipulate how you think, he can control and manipulate your whole life. Our thoughts determine our actions. The way that we think determines our attitude. It determines our self-image. It determines our destiny. If all of these things can be affected by our expectations, then don't you know that the enemy would love for our expectations to be impacted by his manipulation? And so I ask you again, I want to look at you in the eye and say, what are you expecting? Amen. Have you lost hope, or what are you expecting? What do you believe in God for? God's going to work on your behalf. God's going to open a door for you. We two or three times thought we had a building. We went into escrow a couple of times. We thought was the perfect building, and then we fell out. And I got to be honest with you. Our church congregation is over 200 people that gather together on Sunday. And in the last 5 years, we've been in five different locations having worship services. That's a challenge. Can you agree that's a challenge? I don't have an office to work out of. I prepare my sermons out of my pickup truck, not the back. I sit in the front in the cab, right? I'm not sitting in the back like working. I got a desk back there in the back of my pickup. No, I sit in my truck and I do preparations. It was frustrating. And I thought, is anything going to happen? Is this going to happen? But somewhere deep in my spirit, God made promises to us. God declared it to us. And some of you need to get a hold and stir up those promises. Promises that God's spoken over your life, and begin to manipulate your expectations and begin to believe again. Get your hopes up again. See, when I was a child, when I was a young person, I have in my family tree, there is genetic predisposition to some mental illness, bipolar disorder, depression. In fact, my paternal grandfather spent many years in a mental hospital because he just collapsed. So I watched my whole life this man who always was expecting something negative to happen. His sister was the same way. I watched as my dad fought that off in his life, but it was a natural tendency. And as a child, guess what? Whenever I would have a situation that there was an outcome that was coming, I always expected the worse so that I wouldn't be disappointed. When something good happens, I could be encouraged. That's not an advisable way to live your life. But somewhere along the way, you've got to get it in your spirit that if I'm going to tap into the resources of heaven, I got to begin to believe that God's going to bless. I've got to believe that he's going to open doors. I've got to believe that revival's coming to my family. I've got to believe that he's going to make a way. Does anybody feel faith in this place right now? Does anybody believe the word of God and the promises of God that something good is about to happen? So if you can learn to think the right thoughts, you can defeat negativity, bitterness, depression, worry, all these negative things that can control your mind and your emotions in your life. So my question today is, what are you expecting? If you're not expecting anything good to happen, you're going to be discouraged. Amen? Some people are like depressed or discouraged, and they're like, I've got emotional problems. And so we ask them, well, what do you think about during the day? Well, I'm thinking about my sickness. I'm thinking about the fact that I might lose my job. I'm thinking about the fact that my wife might leave you. Okay, and you're depressed? Yeah. Well, I don't think you have an emotional problem. Your emotions are working just fine. Because your emotions are designed to let you feel what's on your mind. And so if you're constantly thinking that something bad is going to happen, if you allow thoughts of hopelessness to germinate in your spirit, then it's going to show up in your emotions. I want to tell you today that if you want to turn it around, the best thing that you can do is to begin to manipulate your expectations. Begin to say, it's time for an adjustment in what I'm thinking about and what I'm believing for and what I'm expecting might happen in my life, because there is power in positive expectations. Anybody believe that? I love this verse. One of my favorite verses in Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's got to be a change in the way that you think if you're going to have the acceptable will of God in your life. Look at this other translation of that same verse. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God change you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you'll know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. You can't even know the will of God with that old hopeless way of thinking. But if you begin to expect and let the Word of God, let your time with God begin to change your expectations, then you can see the will of God. Come on, somebody say, God, change the way that I'm thinking. God, change the way. Change the way that I'm thinking. Praise God. Hallelujah. Changing the way that you think can help defeat negativity and worry and anxiety and resentment, depression, and get rid of many of these negative emotions. Thoughts have creative power. Anybody believe that? They affect our destiny. It's difficult to have a positive life in a negative mind. Listen to me right now. It's difficult to have a positive, blessed life and negative expectations. So rather than letting the devil use every little bit of evidence that comes along to steal your hope, say, I'm going to manipulate my expectations. And I may have got some bad news. Amen. I may have got a letter that discouraged me. I may have got a phone call that drained all the hope out of me. But I'm going to get up again and say, it shall be well. Amen. The God that I serve has worked on my behalf in the past. He's going to work again. Praise the Lord. His promises are new every day. And if He did it before, He'll do it again. I'm challenging somebody to affect and manipulate your expectation so that when I say, what are you expecting? You say, I'm expecting revival in my family. I'm expecting blessing on my career. I'm expecting God opening doors for me. I know I've gone through some rough times. I've gone through some difficulties. There's real difficult things that you got to go through in life. Even if you're positive, even if you're faith-filled. Just like this lady, she was full of faith. She was a great woman. She made space for God, but something terrible happened in her life. But the difference between her and Jacob is she said, I'm not going to let this evidence determine what I'm going to expect tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I'm going to shake it off and I'm going to believe, amen, that it shall be well. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So think about what you're thinking about, and you may discover the source of some of your trouble in life. If your mind is a mess and you're thinking about the wrong things, because Satan deceives people into thinking the source of their misery is something other than what it is. He wants you to think that you're unhappy because of what's happening around you, when your real unhappiness is a result of what's going on inside of you. Praise God. Because your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Now, I want to tell you that in my life, one of the things that I've had to learn to do just because of certain predisposition and observed things is I've had to redirect the way that I think intentionally. I've had to manipulate my expectations because it's been shown and proven that our thoughts move in predictable ways. Just like when water runs through a channel in a river, after a while it's dug a rut. And when there's an overflow of water, we know which way it's going to go. And when you've thought a certain way with negative expectations and giving up hope immediately and going down that pathway that makes you anxious and fearful, if that's the way you're used to rolling, then that's what's going to naturally happen. Just like water runs down the rivulets of a dug river channel. But I believe that there is power through God. The Word of God says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, I want you to think on these things. Spiritual warfare is not about using arrows to shoot demons out of the air. Spiritual warfare is about learning to control the way that you think. This is the battleground right here, so that when the devil tries to send a discouraging thought and your typical pattern begins to unfold, your thought manner begins to go, then
then what can you do? The Bible says it this way: the weapons of our warfare are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is it saying? It is saying there that our spiritual warfare is about what's happening in our mind. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a secret place where the enemy can attack you in a hidden space in your mind. That when you start to get hope, when you start to believe for good things, there comes an arrow from the stronghold. But through the power of spiritual warfare, you can take down strongholds so that the place that arrow has been coming to affect you for years can be brought down. If you learn to bring into captivity, get your lasso out like a cowboy, and every thought that comes into your mind that sends to steal your positive expectations, you ring it. Amen. You pull it out and you reject it and you replace it with a good thought. I'm talking about what I've gone through in my life here. Because if I don't do this, there's a predictable pattern. And this is Sunday night, right? We feel the presence and the power of God. We're excited. But what I'm talking about today is about what you're going to do Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Because we can have a lot of faith and get excited and full of expectation when we hear the kids singing worship songs and this great group leading us in worship. But then on Wednesday, when things don't go our way and two or three things happen in a row that begin to make us feel like this is going to be a bad day, we got to stand up and say, no. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I refuse to turn this day over to the expectation that the enemy is trying to manipulate in my mind. I'm choosing to say, it shall be well. I may have got a speeding ticket. I may have got a call from the revenue service, but it shall be well. I believe that God's doing something. And here's the awesome thing that I've learned is that spiritual attacks from the enemy become more obvious in spiritually significant times. But also, God's working on our behalf becomes more obvious in spiritually significant times. So when I see circumstances coming up that would try to steal my faith, I know now that God's getting ready to do something great, and the enemy's trying to take it from me. So rather than letting the circumstances manipulate my expectations, I choose to believe that it's going to be all right. I choose to believe that God's going to work in my behalf. Put your hands together for the Lord right now. So today as we talk about where we are right now, it's like, let's change this thing, man. Because sometimes we get in a vein of expectation and faith, see God's favor on our life, and two or three things happen, and we're like, I don't want to get my hopes up and be disappointed. I want to tell you right now, God wants you to get your hopes up. Because you can afford to be disappointed, but you can't afford to live without hope. You can't afford to live without hope. Because without hope, there's no avenue for faith. And without faith, you have no space for God to work in your behalf. But if you're like, I just believe God's going to do something. I believe. I like the spirit of the old timer that says, hey, things may look rough right now. Things may look pretty grim. I may not have a lot of food in my cupboard right now. It may not be a lot of money coming my way. But I've been in the presence of the Lord today. I've been alone with Jesus. And I just feel like something good is about to happen. I feel like God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. What were they doing? They were manipulating expectations. And what did God do? God showed up. Amen. God showed out. God manifest his glory. But the first thing you got to do is, if you want to get up in your expectations, get up in your hope, the first thing you got to do is look up. You got to look up first. Before Peter and John told the man to rise up, they first said, look up, look on us. You got to look up before you rise up. The Bible says, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You got to get your head up, amen. If you want God's provision to come, if you want to get up, if you want things to change, you got to get your head up. I'm speaking to somebody today. This is a word for somebody today. You've got to lift up your eyes. You've got to lift up your head, because God has something for you. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can receive a physical healing of your body. Listen to me right now. You can receive the financial miracle and blessing. You can receive the deliverance from depression or disease. despair or chemical addiction. You can receive it and you can have the life that you dreamed of, but you got to look up before you can rise up. You got to begin to believe that something good is going to happen.